Thank you for subscribing to the Christian Ministries Church podcast. With our vision for the year being stronger and stronger, we pray that this message strengthens and equips you for the work of the ministry that God has called you to. Let's join one of our pastors now.
Man called the church one day. Secretary answered. Secretary said, "Hello, how may I help you?" The man said, "I want to talk to the head hog of the trough." That woman got mad and started to rebuke that man, says, "Sir, I'm highly offended at what you just called our pastor. If you're referring to our pastor as the head hog of the trough, you will not get through to the pastor. You may speak to him, but you will speak to him with reverence, and you'll honor him because he is our pastor. He is the reverend of this church." That man said, "Okay, I'm sorry. I just want to speak to him because I came into some money, and I'd like to donate $10,000 to the church." She said, "Please hold. Porky just walked in." You can call me whatever you want. That's awesome. And I bet Pastor Ashley wouldn't care what you called him if you were calling to that news either. All right, well, it is December, and I'm going to have to get a drink. It is December, the time of the year that all the joyful Christmas people start walking around with an extra bright smile. Everybody's jolly and holly and happy. What's going on in this season? December really is one of the coolest months of the whole year for several reasons. One reason that I like December is because it's the end of the year. And you get to look back at the whole year and say, "Wow, God, you did this in 2017. You did this and you did this." As a church, if we were to look back in 2017, we could see God doing some amazing things and that we're really excited for. Also, in December, we get to start looking forward to the next year. We get to start imagining and envisioning what God has for us in 2018. You know, it's at one time, 2018 seemed like a long way away, but it's right here and it's upon us, and we get to look forward to what's coming. But one major reason everybody loves December is because of Christmas, right? You look at our stage and you can see that we're excited about Christmas, these beautiful trees and wreaths and flowers, all that stuff. And I like to drive around, and Ashlyn and I and Ronnie and Shauna were in town the other day, and has anybody seen this house in Springfield where you can tune to a certain radio station, and they put on a light show, and it's just awesome. It's beautiful. And this guy put in thousands of dollars in his house, and it's just amazing. And I love looking at the different lights. We went with Michelle and Ashley and my mom and dad and the baby and Ashley, and we all went down to Branson one day and looked at all the lights representing the light of Jesus and the Star of Bethlehem. Christmas time's a time where we get together and eat. Anybody, amen? That's their favorite time of the year. We even have a food bill in December, because everybody starts cooking everything, and we start getting all, we're still eating our leftovers from Thanksgiving that we could, all that kind of stuff. I'm just kidding, we're not that bad. But all this stuff going on, and the food's amazing, the family time is amazing. I like asking people, "What's your Christmas tradition? What are you doing this year?" And I love hearing their stories. One thing that we used to do in Christmas time that I'll never forget, it sketched in me, it helped me see the importance of what Christmas is in my mom and my mom's family. My grandma and grandpa Malloy's, every year before we open presents, we'd get together and read the Christmas story in the Bible. We'd read it in Luke, and just it was just a great thing. And it produced something in me, something that I always want to do too. And as you go about this Christmas season, you move forward, getting ready for the 25th and all that, don't forget what Christmas is about. Don't forget, in all the hustle and the craziness of the season and the bills and the how much you just spend on your nephew who you don't even like that much, you know, instead of letting all your mind go to all those things, start thinking about, my aunts and uncles never thought that about me, but they start thinking about the Son of God, what God did and the gift he gave to the earth. It's going to be a good year. It's going to be a good Christmas. As we're getting close, it's pretty natural for ministers to start preaching Christmas stories and things like that, and I want to do the same thing. Whenever I think of the Christmas story, there's one individual in that story who I'm very, very impressed with, and I have a lot of respect for. And all you women out there who's had a baby, you may identify Mary. I'm very impressed with Mary. And in the life of Mary, imagine, just put herself put yourself in her situation for a second. 13, 14, somewhere between 13 and 18 years old, an angel comes to you, says, hey, you're about to have a baby. I got the joy of looking at the response of Kenan whenever he told me, this is going to open up a big can of worms. But whenever they first got married, several months afterwards, I remember him saying, I think Tristan may be pregnant. And the worry and the fear, she's not. Tristan's going to slap me for even saying that. But she's not. But I remember saying, we're not ready for this. We're not ready. I don't know about this. And that feeling, whenever you find out your wife's pregnant, you start kind of freaking out. But to a young girl who's not even married yet and who's a virgin and a pure woman to say, I'm about to have a baby, whoa, that's completely against my plans, God. And to look at what she had to go through. We went down to Hot Springs and watched the Christmas play that they put on, and it did a really good job at showing the humanity of Mary. Jesus was the Son of God. Mary was just a human being born of a man and a woman. And when an angel appeared to her and said, you're about to conceive a holy child, she listened to that as a human. And she had to react as a human. And to think about what she had to go through was pretty mind-boggling. And so we need to look at her with respect. And then the Bible says, in the generations and the nations will look at her and say, she's blessed. Now, we don't pray to Mary and she's not our Savior. But we do honor her, and we say that she was a very blessed woman to be able to carry the Son of God. And to think that she gave birth to her own Savior. She gave birth to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. It's pretty amazing. And so I want to look at her tonight, read her story, and I want to suggest to you, though, this is the hard part. And before we go any further, I just want to say tonight we're going to get out a good steak of the gospel. And it's going to be hard to eat, maybe hard to swallow, but this isn't going to be just a very surface-level message tonight, but it's going to be some of the deep stuff of the gospel. So are you ready? It's going to be good. I hope we can all stay together with this. But whenever we look at Mary, she's an example of what our life should look like. The thing that took place in her body and in her life, God wants to do in you. Now, don't get freaked out. You're not going to have a baby all of a sudden. But God still wants to do what he did with Mary in your personal life with the vision and the destiny that he has on your life. Let's read the story. Luke chapter 1. If you have your Bible, go ahead and turn to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. We're going to start in verse 26. There's such a great lesson here in the call and in the life of Mary. We're going to kind of dissect these passages, these few scriptures. Let's read together here in verse 26. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying, and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God." Amen. "And behold, your relative Elizabeth in her old age has conceived a son, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren, for nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. We read that a lot around Christmas time, and we use it as a picture of just getting our minds focused on the Christmas story and what happened in the manger and the stable. And we read it a lot of times, and really all we do with this story is we make a big cut out of wood, or we form this mold, plastic mold, and we set it up for Christmas, and that's all we do with this story. We have a nativity scene, and we say, oh, Mary is the mother of Jesus, and we set up Mary and Joseph, and that's as far as we go. But what we've got to remember is all Scripture is breathed out by God, and every detail and every fact is placed within the Scriptures to give us a deeper lesson, more than just a history lesson, but to reveal to us His kingdom and reveal what God is doing on the earth. And so whenever we read this story, don't let your mind go to, oh, that's a sweet story, and this is a good Christmassy thing, but this is a everyday life for us. And what I want to do is take this passage this morning in the time that I'm given and dissect it and look at what God is doing. God is speaking to Mary her destiny. God is speaking to Mary the plans that He has for her. God is speaking to her. This is the call of God on your life. And as we see that, we start to see how it unfolds and the way in which God made it all happen. And well, what does that have to do with me? I'm not going to give birth to Jesus. Here's what it has to do with you. God has a plan for you, a destiny for your life, and He wants to birth, and He wants to put a seed of the kingdom in you, birth something inside of you for you to labor for you to carry, for you to work hard for, and to produce and release into the atmosphere. Today, the sermon is called Release the Kingdom. Because the call on Mary's life was to release the kingdom. Was it not? She conceived by the Holy Spirit, the Son of God, the King of Kings, the Messiah, the Savior, and she was to birth the kingdom, birth the King. And so God is speaking to you today. You release the kingdom. Your name may not be Mary. You may not be a young lady. You may be a 40-year-old man, but He wants to put inside of you a seed of the gospel, and for you to release it into the atmosphere exactly the way He did with Mary. Mary gave birth to the greatest man in history. Look at the fruit. If we keep reading this passage, you know her cousin Elizabeth, which is also a miraculous pregnancy. Jesus wasn't the only miraculous pregnancy in Scripture. There were several miraculous, but Elizabeth had a miraculous pregnancy in her old age, and God says, I'm going to put inside of her. And really, if we read the life of John the Baptist, he too was spreading the kingdom and preparing for the kingdom. Jesus came and brought the kingdom. And so the life of Mary, she was to produce, the fruit of her womb was to produce the kingdom living. Elizabeth tells her later on in this passage, as she goes and sees her cousin Elizabeth, Elizabeth says to her is, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. Well, look at the fruit of Mary's womb. It's not just the man, Jesus, but her faithfulness and her obedience produced blind man being healed, lame man getting up and walking, demons being cast out. What if Mary said no to the call of God on her life? What if Gabriel came down and said, Mary, here's what you are blessed, you are favored, you are called by God, and here's what He wants you to do. And if she said, that sounds good, but it's not for me, you've picked the wrong person. God would have picked somebody, but it wouldn't have been Mary. See, Mary was called, she was favored, she was blessed, but what if she said no? If she had said no, then the fruit of her faithfulness wouldn't have been Jesus. So my question to you today is, what is the fruit of your life? Is it Jesus? Is it producing kingdom principles into the atmosphere, into your workplace, into your family? All right, let's read this with that mindset. Excuse me. Let's read this with that mindset and see what's going on. Gabriel says, comes to Mary in verse 27, a virgin betrothed to a man named Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, greetings, O favored one. He speaks over her what God speaks over her. Said, I'm calling you and you are favored. What you need to know this morning, God is calling you. And the psalm says that He favors the righteous. He favors the holy people. He favors those who are called by His name. He favors those who walk in obedience to the word. And so if you are walking in obedience to His word, if you are walking in the righteousness of God, He too is saying, oh, favored one, you're blessed. And I got a call on your life, and I want to release that call into your life. Keep going. He goes on. And he speaks what's going to happen. He says, behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son. His name will be Jesus. And then he starts to say the things that are going to happen. So this is what I call revelation. He received revelation. And in this process of fulfilling the call on Mary's life, and in the process of you fulfilling the call on your life, you have to receive revelation from God. A lot of time that comes from, I'm not saying you have to be called to be a missionary or a pastor or a prophet or anything like that, but you are called and you have to receive the revelation from God over your life for you to fulfill the call. You're called to be a father. You're called to be a husband. You're called to be an electrician. You're called to be whatever that call on your life. It's the same outline for Mary as it is you to receive revelation from God. What a lot of people do, especially young people, they don't ever go to God and say, God, what is it that you would have me to do? They just start doing their own thing. But the will of God is for him to give revelation to you and allow that revelation to birth, to conceive something inside of you and to allow it to grow so that you can use that thing, whatever that call is, that destiny that you have, to produce the kingdom in your life. Does that make sense? Now that's kind of deep. Are you still with me? This goes on. There are several things I want to talk about, and because of time, I'm just going to name them and then we're going to talk about them. One is being called and favored by God, which every believer and every saint is. Then we have revelation, acceptance, conception, growth, labor, and birthing, or a release. We can, for all the men who's not comfortable with the thought of the word birthing in your life, we'll go ahead and just say release. How about that? A release in your life. God wants to use this process for you to fulfill the ministry that he's called you to walk in. This is the process that he used for every single one of us to fulfill the call of God on our life. The first one is revelation. The angel tells Mary, this is what's going to happen. And God right now comes to you. He's speaking whether it's already happened or is going to happen in the future. But the Holy Spirit will come to you in a way that he may not just enter in the room like an angel. Mary got it really good here. An angel just very boldly spoke it out. But God will give you some kind of revelation in your life and give you a call on your life. Let me use an example. It'll help explain it. God may call you to adopt someone. And that revelation is, I believe I'm supposed to adopt. And that's the revelation. Or I think I'm supposed to go on a mission trip. Or I think I'm supposed to be a pastor. Or I think I'm supposed to get my law degree. Whatever it may be, my medical degree. Get that revelation. Okay, God, that's what I'm supposed to do. I believe that you're speaking this over my life. The second thing Mary did, before it ever happened, she had to accept it. She said, let it be, God. He says, this is going to happen. You're going to conceive. This is how you're going to conceive. But before it any ever happened, there had to be an acceptance. And she said, yes, God, let it be. And the sad thing is, a lot of people get the revelation. Few people accept. The Bible says many are called, but few are chosen. Why was Mary chosen? Because she accepted the call of God on her life. So I believe a lot of people have been called to adopt, or called to go on a mission trip, or called to teach, or to minister, some, whatever it may be, called to something, or maybe just called to give your testimony, or called to be, whatever it may be. I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that, and I'm not going to do that. And we reject the call of God on our life, but you have a call, and our job is to accept the call, and then see the Holy Spirit move. Our job isn't to give revelation. Our job is to receive the revelation, and then our job is to accept it and allow the Holy Spirit to work within us. If we keep reading, after she accepted, she says, how is this going to be? How is this going to take place? How are you going to fulfill the call? How is this going to work? How are we going to partner together to make this happen? I'm a virgin. Gabriel said, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is going to overshadow you. He's going to surround you. What is that a picture of? The infilling of the Holy Spirit. That's a picture. The Holy Spirit wants to overshadow you and to fill you. And the way, and what will be produced from that is this conception of a call on your life. And you have better clarity of that. I can't do this, God. It's impossible. And the call on your life, you may be looking at it going, it's impossible for me to do this. I don't have the money to adopt. I don't know why that's on my mind, but let's say that's it. I don't have the money to adopt. It's impossible. She was a virgin. It was physically impossible for her to have a baby. It's impossible for me to go on a mission trip. It's impossible for me to stand up and give my testimony. It's impossible for me to get my law degree or my medical degree. It's impossible. I can't do it. Well, unless you're a virgin, being told you're about to have a baby and she believed, you don't have much room to doubt. This is the call of God on my life. And I believe it. I receive it. And after you believe it and receive it, there's a conception that takes place to conceive. I looked up the word conceive because I thought it pretty much only had to do with pregnancy. But there's a lot more to that, obviously. The definition is to become pregnant with, or it means to form or devise a plan or an idea in your mind. So here's what happens. We're called by God. His Spirit comes down and touches us. And inside of us, there starts to form these ideas and these plans for His glory and His kingdom through the call on our life. You're called to be a teacher. Okay, I'm called to be a teacher. As the Holy Spirit rests on us and fills us, then these ideas, this is how I can use my teaching to bring the glory of God. I can start being a father, and this is how I can do that. These ideas will start to fill your mind on how I can glorify God in my call. Does that make sense? After the conception, there's a growth. After we start to form. Have you ever been in that place in your life where you know God's telling you to do something? This is what I'm talking about. It's the call of God on your life, either through the decades or maybe just for a moment. But each one of these, this is the process in which God uses. Have you ever been in that moment in your life where you know God's telling you to do something? You've received it. You've accepted it. The Spirit's moving, and you start having all these ideas. How can I make this happen? I know Pastor Ashley, whenever he got revelation and the call of God on his life to start this church, and he accepted that call, then after the Holy Spirit started to work on him, he started, okay, how can I make this happen? What can I do? He started receiving counsel, godly counsel, seeking the Word, listening to the Holy Spirit. And from that, that's the conception part that I'm talking about. We got to be able to receive from God what He's speaking to us to do in our life. People get called, they accept, but they don't allow this conception to take place in their life. So they sit on a call and they sit on a vision their whole life and they never fulfill that call. It happens all the time. It's sad, but I've heard many, many elderly people say, God told me to do this when I was young and I never did it. They received the call. They accepted it, but they never allowed this conception, and never allowed the Holy Spirit to mold them, to push them to birth out this vision that God has on their life. Maybe God's been speaking to you over something very specific for a very long time. Let me tell you, Elizabeth was barren, and in her old age, He can still birth the vision and the call that He has on your life. Don't reject it, because He still wants to do it, because the call of God is without repentance. He's not saying, I'm taking it away from you. He wants you to continue to fulfill this call and this destiny, but you've got to allow the conception to take place in your life and allow God to start giving you these plans and these ideas. After it is conceived, those who are pregnant, what happens after the conception? It starts to grow, and you start feeling the effects of the growth. A child, whenever after Mary conceived Jesus, that baby still had to go through the process of growing. And the plan and the vision that God has for you to release His kingdom, we'll talk about that in a second, but it has to grow in you, and it's something that you have to form after the conception. You get these ideas and these plans and the Holy Spirit anointing, and you start working them together, and you grow it. You partner with the Holy Spirit. How are we going to grow this? What are we going to do? And you start nurturing this and taking care of it. And after it's ready, God's ready to do something with it. When it's reached the point of the birth, I know Abby right now is thinking, 2 more weeks, God, just let it come now. Just let my baby come now. I remember when Ashlyn was about ready to have Adeline, I was like, come on, God. Let's not even go to the due date. Let's just have the baby right now. After the past couple of weeks, you're ready for this thing to come. And a lot of times in our life, as we walk about and God's spoken to us, and we're working on the plans, and we get pretty impatient. We're like, God, just make it happen now. Make it happen now. I'm ready for it now. But God is saying, I'm growing you. I'm stretching you. And you have to be developed before you're ready to do what He's called you to do. A lot of young people hate this process. And I don't want to say young people. Everybody hates this process. It starts to get uncomfortable. You see a baby I've never seen a baby in the womb, I guess. I guess ultrasound. But anyway, towards the end, that baby starts stretching. It starts getting uncomfortable. You see legs and arms. It looks like an alien is about to come out. It starts getting uncomfortable. And as God starts to grow you, you're going to start getting uncomfortable as you grow, and it's going to be stretching you, and you're going to be stretching out, I didn't know I could even do this. And you start looking at some of the things that God has given you to use for his kingdom, and he wants to birth that out. Right. But it's going to be a process of growing and stretching, and it can be hard at times. But as he stretches you and he grows you, then you start going into labor. That's the exciting part. Whenever the call or the decision that you made, the destiny that you're supposed to fulfill, the plan that he has for you in that moment, whether it's a lifelong vision or if it's just for this year, here's what we're doing. That moment of we've been stretching, we've been working. Now it's time to labor for the, oh, I say working, but we've been stretching and growing. We've been trying to produce this. And now it's a laboring process that is exciting. It's like, yes, it's about to happen. My vision is about to come off the ground. Or what I've been working for so long is finally about to happen. I've been praying and praying and praying and working and growing and stretching and studying. And now I finally get to teach a Sunday school class. It's like the interns. I've been working and studying and working and studying. I made Ethan study for like 2 months before he taught Sunday school. And finally, it's here. I'm about to speak. But those labor pains sometimes are hard. And your stomach gets kind of funny. And you start getting nervous and scared. And it starts getting a little bit more painful. And the call of God on your life, God doesn't fulfill it the easy way many times. There comes a time in your life where he's going to stretch you. And you've got to labor to fulfill what God has you to fulfill. You've got to work hard to fulfill the call on your life. And no matter how the pressures of the world, no matter how hard it may get, I'm going to push. I didn't want to use that word, but I'm going to push and push. And I'm going to make sure that this vision is fulfilled so that the fruit of the kingdom can be produced all around me. And after that birthing, there's a release. There's a moment of the birth that is beautiful, and the baby is there. And it's the same thing in the call. There's a release of God. There's a release of kingdom that he wants to work through you to change the atmosphere. Here's what I mean by the birthing or the releasing of the kingdom. We had to go pretty quick today. But the releasing of the kingdom, here's what I mean. There's somebody over across the aisle from you, or there's somebody in the store, and you're looking at them. And all of a sudden, because these don't have to be 10-year revelations, these may be 10-minute revelations, and you look and you see someone over there, and the Holy Spirit says, hey, I'm giving you revelation. Go pray for that person. Go heal that person. You receive that revelation. Oh, what do I do now? Now I got to accept it. Okay, God, I'm going to do this. Okay, I'm going to start forming those ideas. Here's how I'm going to do this. And I'm conceiving. Now I'm laboring, and it's growing. I'm growing the faith to go over there. And now I'm starting to labor to make this thing happen. Can I pray for you? What's wrong? I feel like something's going on. Is your back hurting? Well, yes, it is hurting. Let me pray for you. You lay your hands on them. You pray. And the Bible says you can bind anything on earth and it's bound in heaven. You can loosen anything on earth and it's loosed in heaven. And so there's a release that you have power and authority to release the heavenly atmosphere into your situation. Which means, God, in the mighty name of Jesus, I release healing. I release power and I release restoration. That is releasing the kingdom of God in your life. And I don't care if it's a day-by-day thing or if it's a 10-year process or it's a vision that's going to take 50 years to see that release and the fruit of that release. But you know, whenever you release something into the atmosphere, sometimes it takes a long process. It took 33 years for Mary to see the fruit of what she released into the atmosphere. Jesus, as her child grows, she grows that child. She protects that child. She provides for that child. She's the mom of the Son of God. She takes care of this child. And then as he grows, he's 30 years old, and he starts to produce the kingdom. He goes out, and he starts healing the sick and performing miracles and doing great things in the atmosphere. What he's doing, his whole message, if you read the life of Jesus, was releasing the kingdom and the kingdom principles. You're Mary. I'm Mary. And he wants to put something inside of us and grow it to produce his kingdom on this earth. It's exactly what Jesus prayed when he said, Father, not my will, but your will be done. It's the same thing he prayed when he said, Father God, your will on earth as it is in heaven. If we look around, we see somebody sick, that's not God's will. because it's not in heaven. It wasn't in the garden, and it's not in heaven. And I can't read scripture. I know that the Garden of Eden and heaven are God's perfect wills. And so if it's not in the garden or if it's not in heaven, I don't want to accept it. And so we labor and we struggle and we fight and we grow that process of releasing God's will into that situation.
For more information about all that is happening here at Christian Ministries Church, visit cmchurch.net or like us on Facebook, Christian Ministries Church, Southwest Missouri. Have a very blessed day.